Now, I don't know whether you struggle with anything in your life, do you? Does anybody here struggle with anything in their life? Yeah? Yeah, I struggle with a lot of things that I don't really want to tell you about. Well, no, perhaps I should tell you about today. So let me tell you about one of the things I really struggle with that I need some help with. And that is how to make the shape of a heart using my hands. Now, does anybody know how to do that? Because I am really struggling to do it. I get it upside down, the wrong way round. It never looks like a heart to me. But it's become a bit of a thing, hasn't it? Making the shape of a heart, yeah? Can anybody do it? Could you show the people next to you how to do it? Show people who don't know how to do it. Is it like that or like that? Or I never know. In fact, I can see lots of you doing it differently to everybody else. Has anybody really got that cracked? Yeah, some of you look as if you have, others of you haven't. Is it? I just can't get myself to do it. I always feel my thumbs are on the wrong side of my hand to do it, really. But it looks more like a spider or a crab whenever I do it. Anyway. When the Bible talks about a heart, it doesn't really mean the physical heart. And if you just want to check if yours is still beating, you could do that. We have a few medics in the room. If you want to put your hand up if it's not beating anymore, we have a few medics who can come and help you. But the Bible doesn't just mean this. When the Bible talks about the heart, it means so much more than the organ that pumps blood around our body. What the Bible means about the heart is the person that you really are. Your thoughts, your choices, your desires, your courage, and your faith. That's the sort of heart that the Bible wants to talk about. Now, in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24, we read this. God says, "My servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly." Now, what a great tribute that is to this guy called Caleb. Caleb didn't just give God a little bit of himself. Caleb gave God his whole self, his whole heart. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Caleb. In Numbers chapter 13, you'll find the story where we get to meet a young Caleb. We read that Moses, the leader of the people of Israel at that time, decided to send 12 spies to spy out the promised land, the land that God had promised his people would have if they followed him wholeheartedly. In Numbers chapter 13 and verse 17, we read this. When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, the promised land, he said, "Go through the Negev and on into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land," because it was the season for the first ripe grapes. Now, after 40 days in that land, the spies returned. And this is what they had to say, verse 27 of chapter 13. They gave Moses this account. "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful. And the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there." Now, descendants of Anak were the giants. They appeared to be giants to the people there. "The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan." Then Caleb, don't forget his name, Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they'd explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. 10 of the spies says, yes, but there are giants in this land. The cities are fortified. We can't do it. And the people became frightened. But there were two spies who saw it differently, Joshua and Caleb. And Caleb stood up and gave the report. We should go up. We should take possession of it. And then in chapter 14, we read this. If you want to join me in reading, please do. Two slides. The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Caleb said, yes, there are giants. Yes, there are big walls, but God is bigger than them. Now, we read a little bit further in the story that the people didn't like what Caleb had to say. In fact, they wanted to get rid of him. Imagine being someone who other people don't like what you're saying or doing. Has that ever happened in your life as well? When everybody else thinks one thing and you think something completely different? Perhaps at school, everyone says, oh, don't bother playing with that person. Or maybe at work, someone says, well, that may not be quite the right way to do it, but that's the way we do things around here. Or maybe your friend says to you, everybody does it. Maybe as a parent, you've heard that many times. But something inside you says, but that's not what God wants. And the person who says that is a wholehearted person. Caleb couldn't listen to the negative reports any longer. He gave his own opinion because he saw that God was bigger. Of course, Caleb isn't someone who never felt frightened. He's not someone who got everything right, but he said, whatever happens, I want to do what God wants me to do. Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, is what God had to say. Caleb wasn't different because he was stronger. He wasn't different because he was younger than the other spies. He wasn't different because he didn't see giants. He did see giants, but he saw something else. He saw God and what God could do through him. That's wholehearted faith. That's what wholehearted faith does. It doesn't pretend that difficulties aren't there, but it says, my problems may be big, but my God is bigger. Now, do something else for me. Try and make a heart just from one of your hands, would you? Could you do that? You're meant to say no. Don't nod. Don't nod. Don't nod. You can't do this with one half. You can only make half a heart with one hand, can't you? That's half-hearted. That's being half-hearted. And perhaps you give God on a Sunday everything you have, but maybe on a Monday, well, maybe not so much. God, you can have this bit of my life, but not that bit. But God calls us to be whole-hearted. So this morning, let me ask you, what is one part of your life where you would like to follow Jesus wholeheartedly? Maybe for the children here, maybe it's tomorrow morning being kind to someone that nobody else is kind to. Maybe speaking the truth when it might be easier not to. Maybe forgiving someone who you've fallen out friends with. Maybe standing up for someone who nobody else is standing up for. I think that goes for adults as well, to be honest, don't you? And maybe for us adults, maybe in our families, in our workplaces, in our relationships, the way we use our money, our time, make decisions, how we serve others. Jesus is asking for the whole person. The New Testament picks up that theme, and Jesus has this to say, recorded in Matthew 22. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, with all your soul and with all your mind. Not as a burden, but as an invitation to walk with him every single day. Jesus isn't calling us just to have a Sunday version of ourselves. He wants the person that you are on a Monday morning, the person we are when nobody else is watching, the person we are at school, at work, at home, with our friends, with our family, when we're frightened, when we're successful, when things are going well and when they aren't. Being wholehearted, doing the ordinary things with Jesus at the center. You know, Caleb had a difficult journey. It was sometimes difficult to know which way to go and what to do after all of this. But just like a compass doesn't tell you that the journey will always be easy, all a compass does is simply point you in the right direction, in the direction that you need to go. As we unpack the life of Caleb a bit more for the adults in the Sundays to come in September, we'll find out that he had a very difficult journey. It wasn't as quick as he wanted it to be. There were giants, there were obstacles, there were people who disagreed with him, but Caleb knew the direction he was going, and that was towards God's purposes for his life and the people that he was part of. That's what wholeheartedness means for us. It doesn't mean I'll never be afraid. It means when I'm afraid, I'm still going to choose to follow Jesus. It doesn't mean I'll never fail. It means when I fail, I'll come back to Jesus. And it doesn't mean I'll always know what to do. It means that when I'm confused, I'll ask Jesus to lead me. So may we be a wholehearted people, and may we continue to declare that we are following him every step of the way. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for Caleb, who followed you wholeheartedly. I pray that you will give us a different spirit, the kind of spirit that trusts you when life is difficult, the kind of spirit that gives us courage when we're afraid and faith when we cannot see what lies ahead. Help us to give you not just part of our lives, but all of our lives, with our thoughts, our choices, our words, our time, our gifts, and our relationships, as we seek to follow you wholeheartedly every day. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. Now, in a few moments, we're going to see something very special. We're going to baptize two people who have decided that they want everyone to know that they have chosen to follow Jesus. Baptism doesn't mean that Rose and Susan are saying, I've got everything sorted out. It doesn't mean they will never be frightened. It doesn't mean that they will never make a mistake. And it certainly doesn't mean that they're promising to be perfect. It is saying, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to give you my whole heart, my whole life. And they're declaring that today. I want to be wholehearted, not half-hearted. I want to be wholehearted follower of Jesus. Now, when someone goes down into the water, it reminds us that we're leaving behind the old life. And when they come up out of the water, it reminds them that in Jesus we have a new beginning, a new life begins. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. And so as we watch these two people being baptized today, we're not just watching something that happens to them. We're being reminded of our own choice to wholeheartedly follow Jesus. Perhaps you're here today and you've been following Jesus for many, many years. Maybe someone here today is still thinking about what faith means. Maybe someone here is just beginning to discover who Jesus is. Or perhaps like Rose and Susan today, you're ready to say, Jesus, I want to follow you wholeheartedly. Well, may you make that decision today to follow Jesus and to continue to follow him in your life.